41 and verse 10. And I appreciate that song. That was powerful. If you got things you're going through, you need a breakthrough, you need help from God, I believe God is present to do something for us today. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 41, one verse there, and then we'll read some other verses as we go along. But I just want to share just a few thoughts with you. Last time when Pastor's away and I filled in for him, I finished really, really early, and he was afraid that I was going to spoil you over that. So maybe I can make up for that this morning and get us out by 1 o'clock or something like that. We'll see what happens. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you feel God. You feel His presence. Amen. You sense Him. You know that He's here. Praise God. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's just, would you just ask God to help us this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that we sense in this place today. And God, as we look into your word, I pray, Lord, that you would be rich and real to us. Lord, that you would speak to hearts, Father. I pray, God, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. Help us, Lord, to speak forth as the oracles of God, to speak only those things that you would have us to speak, Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, most of all, I pray that you would minister to the hearts and the lives of your people, of those that are gathered here today. Lord, whether it's home folks, whether it's visitors, Lord, whatever the situation is, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and help us. Oh God, you've got exactly what we need this morning, and we depend on your anointing and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to share with you, just got a question for you this morning, and it's very simply this: how big is God? We sang about the awesomeness of God, and we sang about His greatness and about His worthiness and all these things. But you know, when we look and we consider how big is God, often we are guilty. And if you are, say amen when I get through telling you what I'm going to tell you. Often we are guilty of proclaiming the devil as being so big and God seems so little. Shout now, somebody. Amen. Amen. But we portray, and it seems like when you hear of testimonies, it seems like, oh my, I love this one. The devil has been on my back all week long. Anybody ever heard that one? Well, I'll tell you what you do about that. You just quit making that so comfortable for him to ride and he'll jump off. You know, make him uncomfortable and see what he'll do. But I've got news for us this morning that God is bigger. God is greater. When we consider how great that God is. Now, listen, we all face problems that are bigger than what we are. And in fact, it seems like some of our problems just seem so out of control and so insurmountable that it seems like that there's just no way of escape for us. And we dwell on the problem. And I've learned this. You know, you can take an object, and when that object is far away from you, it looks small. But the closer that it gets to you, the bigger that it becomes. Right? And you focus on what is so close. But you know, if we can bring God way up here in very close to us, and we can put the devil and our problems way out there somewhere. And I'm not saying ignore the problems. Ignoring it will not make the problems go away. Ignoring the problem will not change the problem. Amen. And I'm convinced that there's some things that there's problems in life that a lot of my problems come from my own making. most of my difficulties really come from things from my own doings. You know, we don't take care of our bodies and we get sick. We don't take care of finances and we end up going broke. We don't take care of our families and they end up becoming dysfunctional. But I'm just thinking about all these kind of things that we are the greatest contributors to many of our problems. But the problems that I want us to look at is three of them I want to talk about specifically this morning. But, you know, as we look at the problems that seem so big and they're bigger than what we are, and sometimes we think that they're bigger than what God is. But there is no, I'm here to proclaim to you and I this morning, there is no problem that is greater than who God is or what God is. There is no situation that God cannot take care of it. Hallelujah. We all go through things that we didn't think we would. And we go through some things that we never thought that we would have or should have. We question, why me? Hallelujah. I hear God saying back, why not you? You know, I don't think God's going to put anything, there's nothing going to happen to you that God doesn't have some kind of plan in motion for it. But when we, where do we turn when we run out of our league, when the problems are so much bigger than what we are? Well, you can go to the bookstore. There are shelves loaded with these self-help books. You can look at, Dr. Field's got all the answers and, you know, some of those others that I can't even think of right now, they've got a lot of answers that we want to look into them and see what they've got to say about it. You know, it used to be, when I was younger, I remember folks really got wrapped up with, you know, if you just write to Dear Abby, she'd solve your problems. And Ann Landers had a solution. But I've got some news for us this morning. When we don't know how to cope with things beyond our courage, for example, our fears or anxieties, when we just need to know that we can tap into the power of God when our faith is small. We need to understand that we can take our burdens and our problems to the Lord, and He is big enough to take care of all of it. So my question to us this morning is, how big is your God? I'm serving a God of miracles. I'm serving a God that is greater than all of my anxieties. I'm serving a God that is bigger than what I am. We question, well, how am I going to pay the bills that are greater? You know, the bills are big and the funds are small. And we ask, how are we going to do that? We say, how are we going to conquer our enemies who seem to be too strong for us? Well, I've got news for you. In walks God Almighty. And when we open the doors of our heart and we say, here it is, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Now, here is where we are many times in our prayers. We got things that we worry about. We got things that we are concerned about. And we come to the altar and we come forward. We have prayer. We ask folks, the elders will lay hands on us and they'll pray for our needs and all these kind of things. And we just lay those needs and those problems on the altar before God. We feel good, we shed a few tears, then we pick up those same problems and go back to our seat with them. I really like that chorus we sing quite a bit. Take your burdens to the Lord and just leave them there. Just leave them there. But we want to be in control of things. We want to be in control of the problems, and therefore we try our best to run things. If we just let God be God. This big God I'm talking about. The big God that we know that we can serve. Now, as I said, there's some areas I want us to address this morning. The first one I want to talk about from that we already mentioned the scripture there from Isaiah chapter 41. There's big words here. God says, Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Don't be dismayed. Don't let fears overtake you. I want to talk about fears that I want to tell you that there is a God that is bigger than all of our fears. Everybody's got something you're afraid of. I looked, we were discussing that. I shared in men's prayer meeting yesterday. Incidentally, we do have men's prayer meeting at 8 o'clock every Saturday morning, and we welcome you to come and be a part of it. We miss you when you're not there. So I just thought I'd throw that plug in just in case some folks might be new and don't know we have men's prayer meeting. And but you know, I talked about fear yesterday, and I talked a little bit about, somebody's asking me about phobias. And I looked it up. I Googled phobias. And I mean, there were thousands of phobias in there. I mean, there's a phobia for anything that you can almost imagine. There's a phobia for certain colors. There's a phobia of bugs. There's a phobia of snakes. There's a phobia of heights. There's even a phobia of folks being in church. Now, I don't know why they don't have that same phobia with going to the ball game. But they have a phobia of noise. They have a phobia of rats. They have a phobia of what's yours? We don't usually like to tell folks we're afraid of something, especially guys. We want to be, I'm not afraid of nothing. In fact, I've seen these little things says, no fear. No fear. You've seen those? Oh, macho you. We know there's something you're afraid of. We know. I say, what was that? What was that crazy TV program? I never saw it, but I heard about it. It was Survivor or something. But anyway, they'd have folks. They'd put you in a tank with snakes and try to. You know, you talk about a panic attack. I'd probably have one right then and there. There's folks that have fears. Whatever your fears is, God is bigger than that fear. God says, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee." Fear is common to every person. In fact, fear was first evidenced in the fall in the Garden of Eden when God came walking in the cool of the day and is crying out, "Adam, where are you?" And they were hid. They began to talk. There's this communication going on. And one of the things that Adam said is, "We were naked and we hid because we were afraid. We were afraid." Then God was here before fear ever came on the scene. There in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God was big. And He created that garden. And He created that man to go in the garden. He created all things. And I've got news for you. God will be here when all the fears of all the ages have departed. When there is no reason for fear, God is still good. So God was there before fear. God was there when fear started. And God will be God when all fear is gone. And God is still a big God here and now for your fear or your anxiety. God guarantees that He is greater than all of our fears because He says, "I am with thee." So when you look at, just go through your Bible and look at all the fear nots that are in there. "Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I will be with you. Fear not, for I will go before you. Fear not." And what He's wanting us to know is that we have no reason to fear because God is with us. What do we fear? We have the greatest fear of the unknown. We fear what we don't understand. We fear what we don't know is lying ahead. Many of us fear the greatest fear that most folks have these days is that fear of dying, that fear of sickness, that fear of pain, that fear of loneliness. Older folks, I find, really, really have a lot of fear with being alone. It's fearful in those times. But God says, the psalmist said, rather, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust." So when you're afraid, trust God. When you have these fears and these anxieties, believe God for it. Remember the people of faith who conquered their fears. There's plenty of them. I mean, Moses had certain fears. But you know what we find? What do we find Moses doing? I mean, here is Pharaoh's army behind him and the Red Sea in front of him. And what did he just obeyed what God said. He lifted up his rod, amen, and stretched it over. And God parted the Red Sea. God was showing how big He was then and there. And God is still showing, wanting to show us how big He is here and now. Joshua, going into battle, again, God said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I want to go with you. I'll walk with you through this." David, many times, was fearful. Many times we find him in this state of fear. And we understand fear. Fear does one of two things for folks. It will motivate you into action, or it will paralyze you. One or the other. You can be paralyzed by it, or you can be motivated into action. I shared that yesterday morning a little bit with my devotion. There is, some folks, if I see a snake that I am afraid of, I admit I don't like snakes. Green ones, brown ones, black ones, purple ones, multicolored ones, I just don't care for them. But if I see one and I feel the adrenaline rush, I tend to go into action. First off, I look for the closest hoe that's got a sharp edge on it so I can chop that thing's head off. And if I don't see anything, I'm going to back off and move. I'm not just going to stand there and look at it, nor am I going to get down and play with it. I'm not going to bring one to church with me. Shouting at you, you'll get it after a while. You'll get it in a little while longer. Amen. But then there's also times that I've seen folks that have been so fearful with certain things that they'd freeze. They wouldn't move. They were scared beyond moving. But I've got news for you. Whatever your fear is, God is greater than that fear. Amen. Matthew 17, verse 20 says this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So I want us to understand that God is greater than our faith is. There are sometimes my faith has been really, really, really weak. Jesus is saying, if you've got the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, the mountain will be removed. Now, you can move mountains with a bulldozer and a few sticks of dynamite and things like that. But, there are mountains in our life that seem unsurmountable. And there are sometimes that our faith is so weak and we feel like, oh God, increase my faith. Give me faith. Well, how do you get faith? By the Word of God. How do you get faith? By hearing the testimony of how God has done things in the past. I remember back when God did, and that increases my faith. When I hear your faith, your testimony of healings and miracles, it lets me know that my faith is increased in that. But even though my faith is small, God has got great faith. And I got news for you. God's got faith in you this morning. He has faith in you. And God wants to help you this morning. He's here for you today. Amen. You say, well, I don't have much faith. Use what you got. Use what you got. Grain of mustard seed. Just a little bit. Just have faith. Have faith in God. Amen. When we look at, it's not the size of our faith, but it's the strength of our Lord that makes the difference. Mountain-moving faith rests in our omnipotent, all-powerful God that is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we'd ask or think. Meek Moses, we said, he lifted up his rod and God parted the waters. Joshua going down to cross Jordan. God was going with him. Hallelujah. Fearful, grieving Martha saw Lazarus rise at Christ's call when he said, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus did. God is richer than all of our debts, according to Philippians. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yep. There's times that it's hard to pay the bills. There's times that we wonder where the next meal is coming from. But I look at the Word of God and I see God is rich. He's rich in love. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in power. He's rich in His abilities. And God is rich in His supply. Now, again, I don't believe that means that... And I know God blesses faithfulness. But you can be as poor as the saying goes, Job's turkey. However poor that is. You can be as poor as a church mouse. I do understand how that goes. But it doesn't matter when you understand that God will supply all your needs. We kind of get it mixed up, though. We want to supply all of our wants. And we think, well, because God doesn't give me the finest of this, that, and the other, that God's doesn't have it. God's got plenty. God's got plenty. He's got exactly what you need. And He gives even abundantly. He gives an abundant supply. No, I'm not saying blab it and grab it. I'm not saying just name it and claim it. I'm saying that God is a God that is full resources for whatever you have need of. Hallelujah. Praise God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, according to Psalm 50, verse 10. Our rich Heavenly Father has no shortage of funds. No creditor has anything on his ledger that is beyond what God can provide for you. Sometimes in giving, we tap into God's boundless supply. Remember the story of the widow that just gave out of her necessity. I could tell you story after story where I've seen God move and God speak and God do and God perform just out of giving. I remember, I got to tell you this. Well, time's running down. I got to keep up with the Joneses here this morning. But there was a time we had entered into a building program in Cumberland, Kentucky with a church. It was awesome what God did. But started the building program. It was a church that seated 800 people, so you can imagine about the size of it and what was entailed in building that on the mountainside. And mines, most of the men there worked in the coal mines, and the coal industry had went almost to nothing. And folks were wringing their hands and they were wondering, how are we going to pay this building? How are we going to go through with this? How are we going to make this mortgage payment? How are we going to do this, that, or the other? And they were wringing their hands, and they were all concerned about it because men weren't working and the finances. And I ran across a scripture in the Old Testament where God said, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord." And I think God just burst something within that congregation of faith, began to rise up. And you know, they got to moving some mountainside, because in Kentucky, in that part, in Harlan County, everything is on the mountain just about. And but that's where the property was. They started dozing that off and went into a seam of coal. They started selling the coal off, and God was in charge of it. God was at work. Even though the mines were going down, there was a rich supply of coal right there. And that building got paid off. I think, I don't remember how many thousands of dollars it was. It was up there. It seemed like close to, of course, in those days, that's been 30 years ago, 34 years ago, actually. Maybe somewhere like that. And it was close to $200,000. You could do a whole lot in those days for that. But God was supplying. I'm telling you, my God owns everything. So when God is in control and He's got it, let's believe Him for it. Let's believe Him for it. We were at ministering at the children's home in Barbeville, Kentucky, and faith, totally faith-based. And we were there 8 years, and our secretary, bless her heart, Carmelita Marion, what a gal, what a lady. She was the greatest. I didn't have to worry about anything because she could worry for all of us. She could do enough worrying for everybody. I mean, here it was Monday morning, and she's got these bills. She took care of paying the bills, and she's all her common statement was, "Brother Smith, I don't know, and the Lord knows I don't know what we're going to do." And I said, "Carmelita, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to pray, and we're going to believe God." We had a humongous bill to pay, and it was, I think the electric bill was about $2,000 then. And she would wring her hands and walk the floor, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" But I got news for you. God was always in charge of it. Went over the mailbox and opened up, and here I pulled out an envelope, and here was a letter from Sister Betty Jean Robinson that we'd known for years. And opened up, and here was a check for $2,000. just enough to pay the bill when the bill needed to come. Whether you need 100 or whether you need 100,000, God is able to meet the need if the need is there. I'm not saying don't go out and go in debt just to see if God will do it. Amen. Some folks try to do that, you know. But God, trust God and do what you can and see what God will do. Amen. I got to move on here. Praise God. God is greater than these things. Well, the last one that I want to talk about is this in Psalm 18 verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. God is stronger than all of your enemies. I hope nobody's got any enemies here, but you know, if you're a human being, you probably got somebody that don't like you. There's probably somebody that would rather see you not make it. Even the church world, there's folks really don't want to see you overcome. There's folks don't want to see you victorious. There's folks don't want to see you happy. But he says, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. How did the psalmist plan to find safety from his enemies? Well, he said he would find safety by calling on the Lord. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Praise God. Spurgeon said, the clefts in the rock are a safe hiding place. When you hide yourself in the Lord and you find yourself wrapped up in Him and secure in Him, there's safety there. There is safety when you're trusting God. Christians have the armor of God to protect them from every foe. The devil's your foe. You got folks that are foes, maybe even your own household. But God has said He will protect you and He will supply for you. Going to close with this. The believer's victory is assured in the gospel. The greatest fear, the greatest thing to overcome was conquered when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered victory over death, hell, and the grave. The one who saved us is able to keep us and take us to heaven. My plan is making it. How about you? There's things. I've got a big God. And this God that I'm serving, He's going to take me through. Amen. He's going to help me to make it. I don't fear that I'm going to be lost. I believe I'm going to make it with the help of God. Hallelujah. God is big enough to meet all of my needs while I'm on this journey. And He'll meet every need for everyone that will trust Him. Would you stand with me as Sister Allison comes, as I come back to the music this morning? I don't know your needs. But I know who God is. I don't know your fears. But God does. I don't know where you are, but God sees you right where you are. You say, oh, but Brother Smith, I just feel so weak. And I just feel so destitute. And I feel so alone. Can I tell you, there's a God in heaven. And He says, lo, I am with you always. Always. You need something from God? You need to know the greatness of God this morning. Here's what we're going to do as they play. And, you know, whatever you need. If you need to know this God, if you need to know this great God, this Savior of the world, if you need to know Him this morning, we can point you to Him. He's still on the throne. He's not left you for one moment. He is still there and He's still at work. And He wants to have reign and first place in your life this morning. Whatever you need is, God's there for you. Hallelujah. God will supply. God will take care of it. You got a fear. Fear hath torment. God can help you through that. Today, everyone that will, let's just come and just bring your needs, whatever it is. Bring your case to Jesus. Just bring it on and just gather right around here in the front. If you want to stand, you want to kneel. But let's do spend some time in prayer before we leave. Let's just spend some time in His presence bringing your needs to the Lord. bringing your fears, bringing your anxieties, bringing whatever it is. Brother Smith, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know, but God does. I don't know, but God cares. I don't understand, but I know that Jesus is still your answer, and He is your helper, and He's here for you this morning, here right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Believe Him. Trust Him. Let faith arise.